With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit.
Yeah, and a ham horn. And we have a new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love you over here at CarCast. I'm Anna Pearl. It's Matt the Moderator. DeAndrea over
Hello.
There.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Let's see.
Yeah.
I got stuff to complain about with you.
What?
But it's funny because, all right, if you listen to CarCast and you listen to Ace on the House, you're just going to have to fast forward through this part because I just got done telling Stromer
this will
about
it. First.
But it's hot organization talk. But as you know, I don't care about money. I care about waste.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
And I had this horrible, like, 1-2 punch of waste yesterday and today. Now, you brought up when I saw you, hey, SEMA build, man.
Yeah.
We're thinking about doing our first, what I think we'll just call SEMA build. Now, I don't know that we're building it for SEMA.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or that it's even going to SEMA.
But the type of cars that go to SEMA, what it represents, the quality of car, the, you know, like that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I just started having this thought about, well, I think there's two things to this thought that we're having. One is there was the old Chris Titus way of doing it, which is you find the carcass of a Fairlane or Bel Air, you buy it for $6,000, you give it to Chip Foose, you give him $350,000, and then 2 years later you have a car that's worth $44,000. And that didn't seem to be a great plan. It seemed to be a better plan to buy an old carcass of an old BRE Roadster for $40,000 and spend $50,000 or $70,000 putting it back together and have it be worth $200,000. That seemed like a better
business model. Because of its legacy, its story, and its originality, you know, of being a race car.
And it also seemed like, and then we could go out and race the car.
Yeah.
So that seemed pretty cool. So, you know, Max Zapata, one of these days, I was just going through a big pile of stuff, but something you can put on your hit list. I was going through a pile of junk at the other shop, and I found an old kind of scratched up disc, and it said 2011 Monterey 2000 Roadster or something. And they covered the race, and they covered that car a lot in the race, like professionally, with the cameras mounted up high and the sweeping by the this and zooming in on that. And there's a lot. The problem is that things like 25 minutes long, and there's three good minutes of that car looking good with the Alfa Romeos out on the track. We ought to whack that thing down and just get it down to a good 3 minutes and throw it up and let people enjoy that car, because that's a kick-ass car.
Sure.
But that was the old model.
Yeah.
And it is the model. I have a bunch of old race cars that need to be put back together, and they're spread out in different places and they're being put back together.
Right.
And it now now there's a now there now it makes sense. So I'll give anyone listening an example. There was a time that if you bought a Ferrari, a 62 250 GTE Ferrari 2+2, man, the 2+2 Ferrari from the early 60s. There was a time that if you bought that car just a few years ago, I mean, not so long ago, 8-10 years ago, you'd get that car for 60 to 80 grand. And if you restored it, I don't know that there's that big a difference. Well, I can tell you now, there's no difference between restoring that car and restoring a Lusso Ferrari.
Right.
The only difference is when you're done putting 200 grand or whatever into that car for the full restoration, the Lusso would have been worth $1 million, and this car would have been worth, you paid 65 for it. Now it's 110. But
yeah,
still, if you do the 200 into it and 65 math, we're never gonna make it home with that math, right?
Right.
Well, if you have that car now, one just sold for 600 and change in Europe. So now that the car sold for 600 and change, well, go ahead and put 200 into a full restoration.
Yeah. Or if you did it years ago and you kind of looked into the future and said, I bought it for 65, which was a great price. I put 200 into it, and now you're sitting on it for five more years, but you got a 265 into it. Now it's a great profit.
Right.
You know, but now it's 600,000, whether.
Right.
You know.
And so for us, there were a lot of these old Japanese race cars that I bought for 30, 35, 37,000 bucks or something like that. It was going to take 75 to 100 grand sometimes to get them back to whole or racing form. And in which case you'd be in for $120, $125, whatever, full thing. And when you're done, the car wasn't worth 100 grand.
Right.
So there was not much of a model for it. But now Japanese cars and vintage race cars and everything have moved so prominently over the last few years that it kind of makes more sense. Now, I was always going to put these cars back together regardless of where the market went, but it's just a little easier, like,
it's easier to swallow now to go, hey.
It's like you have a kid on the way and you already have two kids and you're always going to add that extra bedroom onto your house. But now that the market's gone up and the houses around you are worth more, it just makes it easier to get going on it. And so it was that. So for us, this SEMA build, quote unquote, in the past, it just seemed like, well, it's going to cost you $150,000 or $200,000 and you're going to have a car that's worth 40 grand. But now with the Ring Brothers and Singer and other companies like Jonathan Ward and, you know, not quite the same, but the same. Now we're seeing that if you build a car and you build a car right, it's got a lot of value to it.
Yeah.
We're not building it to flip it and I'm not building it to sell it. People always sort of go like, whenever you ask any car aficionado or investor or whatever, you know, you go, oh, what car should I get? And they go, get the car you love, you know, and you go, my feeling is sort of like, I would do a little less of that, a little more, take a look at the market, like learn to love a BMW M3 E30 body style, because those have gone from 15 grand to 60 grand in the last 4 years. Yeah, so like learn to love making a little money too.
You need 10 cars on the left side of the page of cars you love, 10 cars on the right that are moving, and then see if any of them match. If any of them match, that's the car.
Yeah, and we talk a little about, but also learn to love ones that are on the move. Like we always talk about the 355 Ferrari. You find me one of those cars in white with a red leather interior, or with that weird kind of cool blue with a red leather interior. I love that car, and I think if you bought it right, you'd do fine on that car in a few years.
Anything that's going to make you money, you're naturally going to love more, right?
Right. Right.
Kids, friends, businesses, right, whatever. Right. Spouses. Like, you just love them a little more.
Right. So, with that in mind, we were talking about doing a build. Now, should we tell people what the build is and the secret engine and all that stuff? I don't know, because they seem to unveil these things
they
all the
do,
time.
But I say because we produce content here. This is what we do. We create content. So
because we've talked about it before. Has anything changed since the last time we talked about the secret engine?
No, so
engine?
I say okay. We talk about it because things will progress over
time.
Type
it up.
And it's still going to present well and because we don't really know where it's going to go. We have some ideas, some very loose ideas of what we kind of think this car should be. And it really kind of just – it's all built around the idea of this engine, right?
Well, I think I told you guys some of this story. Max Pat is better at being the custodian of this stuff, since he doesn't really have his own thoughts, but he does listen to mine.
It's true. Well, you are my inner monologue.
I have so many of my own thoughts, I can't keep track of them.
Jiminy Cricket without his voice.
But with mine, but you have my thoughts. So, but you're not burdened with your own thoughts, is what I'm saying.
No, don't have those.
Yeah, you're not weighed down or laden with your own thoughts.
Thank goodness. Though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that may have been a thought. Hold on, write that down.
That sounded like your thought, though. I don't know.
Thank goodness. Yeah, it sounded a little like me.
Yeah.
All right. So, the somebody did my favorite thing, which is this has to be Dr. Drew. He takes my buck slip that has all my notes on it and he flips it over and makes all his own scribbles and then he leaves it that way. So, I'm getting ready to throw out his buck slip, except for it's my buck slip with all of my goddamn ideas on the backside of it.
Yeah, I'll start putting stacks in front of each chair so they don't touch your stuff.
Such an asshole. All right. Now, ideas. Okay.
Yes.
So, I need a buck slip, man. So, here's the thing. I was walking around. I was thinking, well, look, I'm a Datsun guy. I'm a Z guy. I should do a Z build. And then I thought, everyone's doing kind of a 240 Z build. How about a 280 ZX, like kind of wide body Z build? Because those cars look great with the big body kits on them.
Yeah.
And they're a little longer. And they're kind of a better platform. And I really like the way those cars look. So I start thinking about that car. And then I start thinking, okay, what's the power plant? Well, it's not going to be a crate motor. And it's not going to be a straight six Z motor. And it's not going to be a V6 Z motor. Like, what would be a killer motor for that car? And I started thinking straight six, and that was the motor in that car. And then I started thinking, oh, what's my favorite straight six motor of all time? It's the Jag.
Yeah, it's the best looking motor.
It's a 3.8 or 4.2. It's got that gold head, and it's got the big fins on it, and it's got the twin cams, and it's got the intake on one side and the exhaust in there, so you can see the headers coming down, and you can see those big triple McCoonies or Webers or whatever. And I thought, oh, that's killer. That would look so killer, that Jag. And you give it some kind of name like Cat Z or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's got this straight, and it'll fit nice in there and everything.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about it, and I was like, oh, I'm in love with this idea. And then I went to the other shop, and I called Matt, told Matt how proud I was of myself and how excited I was about this Jag motor and this
Oh,
Z.
I loved it. As soon as you said SEMA build, I got a boner.
And also I thought, I don't think I've ever seen a Z with a Jag motor. No one ever does a Jag
motor.
No,
that's what I love about it too. It's like, it's got to be a piece you talk about, you know?
And that thing's such a jewel. Those motors, when they're done up in full, like, race prep, are just jewels.
Yeah.
They look amazing. And,
yeah, but
you know,
and the car in race prep, like, it's a street car, but like sort of the race prep body, the body work you're talking about, the car looks badass.
Right, and do some center lock nut, you know, spindles in there, and big dishy, you know, rims, and then all that stuff. So anyway, that was the thought, and I thought, all right, well, I got it, Jag engine in the Z280Z wide body, and I showed up at the shop the other day, and I found Sean. The next day, I found Sean, who was going to be doing the building, and I said, Sean, get ready to be blown away. I said, wide body, 280ZX, I got a motor. Prepare yourself. Straight 4.2 Jag. And he went, oh, that's good. And I went, yeah. Pretty impressive, right? Yeah.
Come on,
pretty
cheer up a little.
Right?
Cheer
and he's
up.
Like, yeah. And then he kind of whispered, because he's a quiet guy, I had another idea. I said, well, I don't know if we want to waste our time, because whatever you tell me, Mr. GM crate engine guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, LS5 with a turbo 400. Sure. Like, I don't want your stupid LS whatever crate, whatever, with the plastic valve covers. Like, I don't want any of that bullshit right. in there. Like, don't give me your crate motor speech. Oh, it'll make, you know, first off, it has a warranty, and it'll make 400 right out. And the, yeah. there's an LS6 that makes 425 with 427 worth of foot-pounds. I was like, I don't want to be bored by any of your pedestrian low rent.
Yeah, this is
GM
not going to be an LS swap
talk,
car.
But go ahead.
Go ahead. Pitch me the idea.
Go ahead and pitch it just so
you
I
don't
can,
have my full attention, but there's just enough.
Just so I can shoot it down. And he said, well, I was thinking of going with this engine. And he pointed at the V8 engine.
Yeah.
Now, the V8 Nissan, the V8 twin turbocharged Nissan that was in Paul Newman's big race car.
Yeah.
His big 280 ZX with the V8 in it. And it's got the big, for first off, it's bespoke. There is no other V8 Nissan racing engine like from its era.
Right. You guys heard us talk about this engine before, you know, back in, I think the car's a 79. Nissan didn't have a V8 here in the U.S., and Infiniti brand wasn't even really out yet. But they had in, you know, like a limousine or their version of a town car in Japan, they had this V8 engine. And I'm not sure who, Sharp or one of the guys, were like, hey, let's start with this and see how we can turn it into a race engine. And they created this very cool mechanical fuel injected twin turbo. And in the race car that you have, it's 933 horsepower. And that's 1979 technology, by the way. It's a cool piece. This is the big twin turbo V8 car that we talked about that you can play in Forza Motorsport. We put up some graphics, I think, last year of that car in the game. Mm-hmm. And that car, to the best of our knowledge, that car, only three engines were ever built for that car, and you have one in the car, and then you have two more in the shop over there. I think we have all three. You know, that's the one we walk by all the time and go, hey, we got three of these. How come the Nissan Motorsports Museum doesn't call us up and go, hey, man, how about one of these in our museum? And we'd say we would gladly take $100,000 of
now,
your money.
I cannot tell you with certitude that there is no other version of this engine that exists on the planet.
Right.
But with a high degree of it, I can. Because when we got the car, we got the car with the engine in it, obviously. And we always talk about sort of unrestored. That's an unrestored car, I mean, in terms of the paint and the whatever.
Yeah.
But we got the car with the engine in it, and then we got some short blocks and some shorter blocks and some heads wrapped up in some cellophane and some cams. And we even got this uniquely cast high-rise injector intake with the plenum on top.
Right.
And then I even got like bad sand-casted intakes that weren't finished and need to be like deburred and cleaned up and stuff like that. So as far as I can tell, everything in the space, whatever shop they built these engines, I just got all of the castings and all of the extras and all of the everything. So I'd be really surprised if there's a full engine just sitting somewhere that didn't come with the pile of short blocks and heads and blocks and everything else that I got.
And some of the pieces, because they, you know, like you said, I think they cast that manifold, so there could be a handful of them floating around someplace, but I don't think all the pieces are joined. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure we brought this car out into the parking lot a little while ago, and there's a YouTube video on my Motorator YouTube page, and Chris could probably find it, but it's us firing up that 280 in the parking lot because we took it out. We wanted to fire up. It's, I know it's tough to like fit in. You know, the seat doesn't move. It's got that bulkhead in the front. It's very tight.
Back. But yeah.
But we took it out to the parking lot and fired it up. And you went over and I think, you know, wrapped the throttle a little bit because we had the body work off of it. And it's a chore. It takes, you know, you got to heat the oil and you got to, it's, you know, it takes 15, 20 minutes to yeah, there it goes. It's up there. And it sounds awesome. And so it's a cool engine. It's a cool piece. So Tom made some calls just on the mechanical fuel injection, the company that made it. Like, we don't make it anymore. We try to piece them together or source them used and rebuild them. And he goes, but there's two versions. There's a naturally aspirated version of that injection and a turbo version. And he said, like, the naturally aspirated version would cost about $18,000 to get it now and about $22,000 for the turbo version. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but when the guy saw it in the pictures, he's like, that's really expensive.
Boy, you know? I'm looking at that car. The engine sits so low because the intake comes up so high.
Yeah.
And the plenum doesn't come up past the hood line. And it's pushed way, way down there. But anyway, all right. Thank you, Max Pata. So you guys can look for that. So Sean points at that engine.
Yeah.
Standing behind him on an engine stand. And he goes, I was thinking about this engine. And I thought, oh, that's much better than my idea because that's Nissan Z with the only V8 Nissan Z race motor that's ever been put in a Z back then. And we basically do a street version of that big behemoth Bob Sharp wide body 280Z with that power plant. And then it'll just be one of one. There'll be nothing. There cannot be another Z, or there cannot be another car on the planet that has this power plant unless somebody decided to recreate that power plant somehow.
Or if somebody wanted to buy the third engine.
Or someone wanted to buy the well, we're going to keep it because we're going to blow up the first one.
And it's going to be 1,000 horsepower when it's done. Like, it's just going to be every bit of 1,000 horsepower because why not?
I'm going to get back to complaining in a second. First, Scott, 42, San Fran.
Hey, how's it going, man? I've actually just gotten into cars from watching the movie 24, which is amazing.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And what I want to do is, I want to know, I want to get into my first car. I'm actually a gun guy, but I want to get into cars, and I'm looking for a car that people kind of sleep on, where most people don't know the car is actually fast, or the car maybe doesn't appear as fast as it actually is. I want to get something a little on the undercover stats. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
auctioned off a couple of guns. I got a budget of about $70,000. So I was thinking, what do you think I should get into?
Budget of about $70,000. That's good. Okay. So all right. So let's talk here. There's stuff that people think is fast, the stuff that looks fast, the stuff that's a sleeper, or what do they call it? Q cars, as they call them in England.
Yeah.
I like stuff that is fast and looks fast. That's my thing. Like, I don't like those. Oh, it's a Dodge Biscayne, and it looks bone stock with the doggy bull hubcaps and stuff. But it's got the 442 Magnum under the. It's like, right.
Yeah. No, I get. No, but I see what you're saying though. You're looking for the sleeper, so it's not really your cup of tea, Adam.
Not my cup of tea. But does Scott really want the sleeper or what? Because Matt will tell you the Typhoon or the Tornado or the Hurricane.
Those are getting more popular. I would say a sleeper would be whatever the they stopped making it, but whatever the most recent like Pontiac GTO was, right? It's kind of a goofy looking car, and I can't speak for the quality of it, but the most recent like GTO with 6-speed and the LS engine is and tons of aftermarket support. That thing is a sleeper. And can boogie. Like, the people that own them love them, I would say, recognize its performance potential, but it wasn't a big seller just because of its kind of bland looks. But that's a big seller.
But hey, Scott.
But like a Grand National was in the day.
Yeah. Somebody, just an article on a pair of those selling for $200,000, I think, on Bring a Trailer or something. Hey, so Scott, so let me ask you. Do you have $70,000 that you would like to be $100,000 in 2.5 years?
Well, I could say, well, I can say that I could, if my budget went to $100,000, I could spend the $100,000. I could do that.
But
what I'm saying is, I auctioned off a couple. I have a gun trust in Texas. I auctioned off a couple of my machine guns and got to that amount. But I would be willing to sink in more if you said, "Hey, you know what? No, this is the car you should do. Check it out.
But
you're asking if you want to make money on it.
Would you like to make money?
Are you looking for an investment car or just?
No, this is for fun. This is for me for fun.
Yeah, I get it. But would you like your fun to be worth $100,000 in 3 years, or your fun to be worth $40,000 in 3 years after you've sunk $70,000 into it?
Well, I guess the answer is make money, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, since I have $70,000 to spend, I would say that $100,000 would be much better
in 3 years. Okay.
Yes.
So now we can talk about a few cars, and it just kind of depends what you're... Now, if you collect machine guns, you're probably not a European finesse guy.
No, not even a little bit.
All right, so we want to keep it to American and muscle. Because when I hear $70,000, I go right back to a 355 Ferrari and go, I love that car for $70,000.
Right, although that's not a sleeper.
Not a sleeper.
As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It looks faster than it is.
It is the opposite of a sleeper. Those tornado trucks or those typhoons.
The typhoon and the cyclone.
The cyclone and the typhoon, those are very fast, 0 to 60. Like you're gonna smash anybody off the line, 0 to 60. Anyone at a stoplight, you're gonna blow away in your little pickup truck. And they're very American. They're very quick. They're relatively inexpensive still, but they're on the move, right?
Yeah, they're slowly going up. I mean, but you're talking they're $18,000 right now. So,
but they made a modern version of those too, didn't they?
No, that's it.
Didn't Ford make something?
Well, Ford makes a Lightning. They made a Lightning.
What are the Lightnings going for now? Like, if you're look, I try not to think like an American.
Yeah,
but. If you want something very American, get a pickup truck, and I would get the best version, the nicest one of those I could find for $25,000.
Then you'd want the 2003 or 2004 Lightning. And you could put your gun rack in the window.
That's right.
And
put your bumper sticker that says on the rear bumper that says Sierra Club, take a hike to hell.
NRA or his life.
They're averaging like $20,000 for a Ford Lightning.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How much?
They've held their value fairly well. Mm-hmm. And the 03, 04s have a little cylinder head change that's a little bit better.
The 04s are the hot ones.
How much for a Typhoon or a
Cyclone?
Cyclone.
GMC Cyclone.
A really nice one, like the most expensive one. So, Scott, that's a truck. You're a truck dude. I don't know what you're doing in San Francisco, but you're a truck dude.
Also, guns in San Francisco?
Those cars are blisteringly quick.
Yeah.
And you're going to get anybody. I mean, you could have a guy pull up probably next to you in a Corvette, as long as it wasn't too new and too expensive, and you take that guy to the next stoplight.
Yeah, they're fast, but they're 80s and 90s fast.
Yeah.
I mean, like these days, everything is 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. You can go get a BMW SUV, not even an M version, and it's 4.6 0 to 60.
Cyclone average $40,000.
It's too much money. I just saw a Bear Jackson for $18,000. So
he's saying average.
You know what happens is everyone. Everyone goes to Barrett Jackson. They see a car sell for $100,000. It's worth $1,000. And then they change their Craigslist listing to $50,000, thinking that they just won the lottery. And it's just not going to happen.
Where are you seeing it on eBay?
Car Gurus.
Car Gurus.
Yeah. If there's one up there for $40,000, it's going to be pretty awesome, right? It's going to be low miles and clean.
Average. He's saying average.
The range. I mean, the cheapest one is $28,000, and then there's some for $45,000. There's one for $80,000.
I should have bought that one for $80,000.
It was really customed out.
Hey, Scott, they're on the move. You want a pickup truck? That car's quick. It's on the move. It's very American. And
it doesn't tow anything. It doesn't haul anything, but that's the point.
It hauls
a Christmas tree. It hauls one Christmas tree.
So you get a nice one of those for 40 grand or 35 grand or whatever it is, and it'll be worth 50 in 4 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, Scott, go check that out. Leno's got one.
I appreciate that.
He loves it, man. Yeah, so anyway, the SEMA build.
Yeah.
So those guys are knee-deep in race cars, which is the way I like it.
Your guys in the other
shop. Sorry. Yeah. But at some point, Tom came up to me the other day and he went, hey, boss, I got a guy. He's got a Z car, a 280Z X, 280Z X, and he wants to sell it for $1,000. And it's real straight and still drives and it's not rusty or whatever. And I said, oh, all right, I'll go get it. But I remember thinking, I don't want it because I want you to finish all these other cars that we're working on. I'm not going to start tearing apart a Z car and getting into a project right now. But if it's $1,000 and it's nearby and it's straight, go get it. And then as I was pulling out to come do my 1,000 podcast yesterday, I saw them coming in back from picking it up in the aero vault. And so it's just an enclosed aero trailer, Pete Brock sells and blah, blah, blah. And I remember as they were pulling up, I remember thinking to myself, okay, I got no room. And I don't want that car to come out of that. I want you to park the trailer and leave the car in the trailer.
Yeah.
It'll be closed up. It'll be safe. We don't use the trailer. And it'll be encapsulated. And we'll finish these race cars. And we're ready to go. We'll pull it out.
It won't be an eyesore.
And it won't be an eyesore. And it won't be everything else. And I was walking to this shop thinking, I had to do 5 podcasts with Dr. Drew and whatever, but I was thinking, and I had to hand in a bunch of Oscar jokes and stuff. But I remember thinking, I got to send Sean and Tom an email that says, like, leave it in the trailer, whatever. But but it was yesterday afternoon. It was like 4 in the afternoon. And I knew I was coming back at like 9:30 this morning. So I was like, there's like part of me that said, oh, they're just going to park the trailer and go home. You know, this is why I put it outside. It's raining outside, you know. And then I had this thought, like, I got to tell them to leave in the trailer. I don't want them taken out of the trailer. But I whiffed. And then I pulled up I guess I thought, oh, it'll be in the trailer when I get back. And
yeah.
I got it, walked in this morning, trailer put away, car just parked right in front of the door. And now I'm just going to tell them, see the trailer? Yeah, go get it out and then open it and then put this back in it and then go park it.
Yeah, they were already talking about that when I walked in. And but they said that they were proud of it because they pulled it out of the trailer. All they did was put a battery in it and fired right up.
Well, maybe it's your new ride. It's a little cheap for my blood, but
where's caller Scott? He's looking for a sleeper, right?
Yeah, he's looking for a sleeper.
Yeah.
Well, the fumes alone will put you to sleep.
So
permanently.
That's awesome. Except for we're just gonna.
Well, now you could drive it into the trailer.
I'm glad they put a battery in it, but now we're just gonna take the battery out and take it apart.
Well, they put an Optima battery in there, so it's worth more than the car. I was like, take that Optima out.
I wish I could convey thoughts like, just call me and ask me what you want to do with the car, or just do a thing where you go, it's in the trailer. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Or don't touch it. I come every morning. I come show up every single morning. And if I showed up and they said, you want us to take that car out of the trailer? I'd go, absolutely not. Don't even get near it. Just leave it. Just park it and leave it. It's done. Because what we're going to do now is I'm going to walk to it and I'm going to go, they're going to go, hey, man, not bad, right? And I'll go, yeah, it's fine. It's clean. Now back, pull the trailer out, load it up, and put the trailer back.
Yeah.
This is right on the fucking hinges of all the fucking molds that were over there. I told him to come over here and like organize all the shit over here. And for some reason, Gary brought back all the molds. Although the thing that's crazy about Gary is nobody ever tells him to do what he does and he never asks. That's the weird thing. And I'm here all day.
That's called initiative.
It's called going rogue.
It's going rogue.
You're allowed to go, hey, where's Adam? Do you want all this stuff back at the other shop? Because the answer would be no. But they never ask. They just load it all up. And then the answer, it's all the time they go, yeah, I didn't know what you wanted to do with this. So you did it. It's like saying, you flipped the coin. Yeah. It landed on the wrong side. Yeah. I didn't know what side you called. Like, okay, don't flip the coin then.
Yeah.
Don't flip the coin. Yeah, I didn't know what side you wanted. Then then don't flip the coin. Yeah. Don't do it if you don't know. Like Gary goes and Rob goes. They go to like Home Depot and they're like, I didn't know if you wanted the brush for oil-based paint or the latex-based paint. So I just got the latex. And I go, well, we got oil-based paint. They go, yeah, I didn't know. I know. Why didn't you? But then call. Yeah, I didn't know which paint we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not blaming you for not knowing.
All decision-making abilities have been revoked, at least for Gary. And probably several other people.
He brought all the goddamn molds to the other shop.
Yeah.
Then unloaded them and laid them out in the shop, to which Sean, who's got the brains of the operation, said, we're not going to put all these things outside where the molds are. These are brand new molds. Take them back and store them up in the place where they were stored, where all Adam said was organize what's up there. He didn't say take it here or do that. I just said,
we don't need more stuff over there.
I didn't say bring all the molds. I just said just go organize.
Yeah.
So they then loaded up the van.
Of course.
With it. And then didn't bring it back to the shop. Then I walked into the shop yesterday and all the molds were in the shop laid out on the floor. And I said, and everyone's tripping over them. And I said, why are all these molds on the floor? And they said, Gary brought them here. And Sean told him to take them back.
Yeah.
So Gary loaded them up into the van.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, that sounds like a waste of time so far. I don't know, it's cost me $80 or something. But fine. But now, how's that explain them being on the floor? Nate and Brian needed the van to go film something, and they had to put their equipment in it.
Okay.
Okay, so now take the stuff and put it back in the van and then go do it. That don't leave it in the van. And there are 9 pickup trucks here. Like, could anyone have thrown it in the back? And when Brian was unloading it, could he have said, what do you want me to do with all this stuff?
Where
because
should it go?
The answer wouldn't be on the fucking floor in the middle of the fucking shop. It would have been, I'm pissed, marginally, put in the back of Rob's truck and let Rob drive it over here.
Right.
Chris, what the fuck?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, Chris, what the fuck?
So now I'm going to go back to the other shop, and I'm going to say to him, yes, it's a nice C car. Now back up the trailer, hook it up to something, put it back, take the battery out, and put it back in this trailer, you know, and then park the trailer again.
Sean has a shop somewhere as well. That Z would probably look pretty good at his
shop. We had that discussion, but the trailer isn't closed.
Yeah.
And it buttons up and it's watertight. Like, you could literally just park in there and leave it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's what I wanted. But also, one could ask, and then there's always Rob who's like, yeah, I didn't know why they were unloading it. It's like, why don't you go talk to them then? Just go walk over and go, hey, hold on. Adam's going to be here in half an hour. Why don't we just...
So, you know, like Rob's job, by the way, is to know...
How many times do you think I've had this conversation with
Rob?
So
when Adam comes in and talks to Rob, there's sort of this chain of command, and Rob's job is to know all of that stuff because you're going to ask him. And this isn't the first time you've asked.
I show up every fucking morning. Why not just go, let's go do whatever we're doing yesterday, and then when Adam shows up, we can...
Yeah, we'll just ask him.
I think they want to surprise me with it or show off with it or something. But
well, the car, yeah, but not the body pieces in the middle of the floor. That part, I'm with you.
Well, Brian's unloading a van full of my shit. I get he doesn't want to throw it away, but...
Brian's like the weird food kid, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Also,
yeah, mold handler.
If when you put the shit, when you put the molds in the van, if you then drive the van over and unload it, you can avoid the part where somebody needs to borrow the van and thus unloads it again.
Yeah.
This fucking sucks. Sucks being me. I had no idea that there would be this level of incompetence meets doesn't communicate. Like, just an insane non-communication, and also a level of where do these things go? Like, in Brian's mind, I guess they're in the van, and the van's there, so no one unloaded them. But I don't know why you don't ask somebody, where do you want this? And he may have, and Tom probably said, just put them down in here or something. But when you're unloading them, why not just unload them into the back of one of the many pickup trucks that could then just drive around the block and drop them off?
Yeah. And the trucks, they keep multiplying over there and getting bigger.
Thus, no room for the Z. Now, what do I do with the Z? Just tell them to immediately load it back up and redo it, or tell them to do it during fucking lunch, or just leave it there?
It seemed like that was being discussed as I was walking over here this morning. So, I mean, maybe by some Christmas miracle, when we're done here, it's in the trailer.
That's not a Christmas miracle. Because I paid a guy who gets $60 an hour and a guy who gets $25 an hour to unload this truck, and now I'm going to pay them $60 and $25 an hour to reload the truck and then repark, or the trailer, and repark it. That's not a miracle. Business.
By some costly miracle, those things have happened.
Costly miracle, yes. All right. But they're good guys. I can't complain. Geico, man. There's a miracle. Yeah. Geico.com. Everyone's got the to-do list. Mm-hmm. They want to unload the meaningless unloading of a car. That runs. It runs.
Well,
okay,
it does
good.
After they unloaded it.
It runs. Good. Now tear it all apart. Yeah. Now never drive it. But it runs. Geico.com. You can save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to drop anything off or pick anything up. Just go to Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. Most rewarding thing you'll do all day at Geico. That is Geico.com.
Need some Geico on that Z car.
Phoenix, GCU Arena, February 27th. No safe spaces. And Dennis Prager, Sacramento, Thunder Valley Casino, March 2nd. Doing stand-up there, Oxnard Levity Live, Santa Ana, Esports Arena. Two shows there. Go to Adam Carolla Moore Theater in Seattle, September 13th. That's way down the road, but it'll sell out, so let's get going. Go to AdamCarolla.com. 50 seats added to the cruise, by the way. So I should say rooms added to the cruise, so you can check that out. Go to Chassis.com. See all the movies over there. And why did flat-configured engines never become more popular? I don't know. Someone, Reese, is asking from Louisiana. Sorry. Hey, Reese.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Yeah, sorry. We don't know. Don't know. I blame the Corvair.
Yeah. Nader.
Nader and the Corvair. Fucking Americans Nader. Tried it in a Corvair. Unsafe at any speed, and that was the end of that. All right, Matt, plugs for you?
Yeah. Check me out. My social media, it's on all at Moderator, and listen to Shift and Steer. It's on Podcast One.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare. Back in a week.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.